Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to welcome Prosperity Counseling and Wellness to the show. They are a local St. Louis-based therapy practice that specializes in substance abuse and general counseling. They offer group and individual therapy that is tailored to meet your needs. If you or a loved one is struggling with substance abuse or just feels like they need support, contact Prosperity Counseling and Wellness at 636-515-1230. You can find more information at their website at prosperitystl.com. If you're struggling out there or need somebody to talk to, reach out. Prosperity Counseling and Wellness, right here in St. Louis. Hey everybody, this is Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them right here in St. Louis, Missouri, in the Grand Center area, in the Dot Zack building. Go over, check it out, come by and visit them. You can go by or visit online, shop 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to follow along with Music Record Shop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. They're giving away tickets and records and all kinds of fun stuff throughout the day. So get involved, shop local, support local business. They got a lot of cool stuff going on. So you can also reach out if you have a local band you want to get your records on the shelf over there. Reach out and see how you can make that happen. Again, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Matthias from Matthias and the Pirates. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast 2017 St. Louis. Whoop whoop.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out, Gazella? Is that?
Yep,
all right, it. Nailed it, man.
Yeah, nice job, man. First try.
Yeah. Hanging out with Matthias James of Matthias and the Pirates.
What's going down?
Welcome back to the show, man.
Oh, thank you. It's been a long time.
Yeah, we were just kind of catching up here, realized like, yeah, it's been about almost 2 years since we talked Pirates music on the show. So
that's true.
So it feels good to be here to talking about brand new Pirates music, and we got a lot of big things happening, some big shows, and a lot of things going down. But you, now that you guys haven't been busy, you've been to Chicago a couple times. You guys played Lou Fest. You guys, you guys been doing some big things for a while. Just
it's been a good year.
Yeah, man. So let's talk about those. Are you like I said, Lou Fest? That's a pretty big honor to be part of that, and. You guys had a good time out there?
I did. We did. Yes, it was spectacular. Yeah. You really can't say enough good things about it. Top-notch festival, the way it's run, top to bottom. The folks in the office to the folks driving the golf carts around, getting you from stage to stage. Fantastic people. Definitely taken extremely good care of. I noticed that the openers. We were an opener. We got treated. Like we were a headliner, at least felt like it. We didn't have our own trailer, but we got to hang out wherever we wanted to go. We could be backstage for anybody we wanted to see. We had pretty free reign of the place. It was free drinks and food all weekend, so it wasn't even just the day we played. We went back the next day, most of us did anyway, and hung out and took advantage of the fact that we just played St. Louis's premier music festival.
Yeah, man.
And it was pretty incredible, man.
Sure.
It was great.
Yeah, getting to see your name on a bill with Huey Lewis and all these guys. And
Got to meet Huey. Got to hang out with him backstage a little bit. Yeah.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, super cool dude, real down to earth.
Yeah, I saw he took a bunch of pictures with people all weekend. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's really cool to see, like guys that have been at it that long and then at that level and stuff, and they're still willing to take pictures with everybody and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's like there's still a like a garage band or a bar band, but they clearly are not, and they put on a great performance too. I gotta say, man, and it was one of the things I was looking forward to the most. Yeah. It's my childhood,
sure.
Right? Back to the Future
right.
Came out when I was a kid, so like getting to see him play live for the first time was really cool. And it wasn't just like a bunch of old dudes on stage like going through these motions. Like, it was a high energy show. They put on a really good one.
Yeah, I was bummed. I missed out on this year. I've been last several of them at Lou Fest, but this is the first one I missed in a while, because I also, that was a big weekend in St. Louis. There was like a ton of other shows going on around town too, and I happened to be out at my friends were throwing a big party every year out there in Troy, Missouri, the Ink Spot Block Party. So, like, okay. I was out there participating in that. And but yeah, anyway, I'm glad you were part of it and had a great time. And I'm excited that they're doing more, that more, bringing a lot more locals in, and they're really representing well for our city and stuff. So,
well, they are, man, and they really roll out the red carpet too. Everybody gets paid fairly, and I'm not going to say how much, but you know, it's a good situation. They throw parties for pre-parties and everything, and they gear that towards the local artists. There was a meet and greet with it was sponsored, free beer and snacks and things like that at Shock City Studios, and it's all really very exciting. And then the day of show, it's great. I mean, we played at, no kidding, like 11:20 in the morning is when our set started. And we had like a sizable crowd when we played our first note. Nice. And then by the end of it, I mean, there was a lot of people there. I have no idea how many, but certainly more than a couple thousand. Mm-hmm. And it just grew and grew as the day progressed. It was a record-breaking crowd that day. Evidently, we had the biggest early crowd in Lou Fest history for our set. So that was super cool. And I would imagine that as the festival continues to gain momentum, that'll be the case again next year. I can only see it getting bigger and folks arriving earlier and earlier.
Yeah.
It was really, really cool. And I couldn't recommend it enough, honestly. If any local bands are out there listening, by all means, figure out a way. Submit your music. Play Lou Fest. It's super worth it. It's really cool.
Did you had like the 8-piece band or whatever that day?
It was 11 that 11? Day. We had backup singers. Nice. And everything. We pulled out the stops, yeah, as it is. And it sounded great. It was really fun. It was an army of people and a wall of sound.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think that you guys also did that with your what's that, Cherokee?
Lo-Fi Cherokee.
Yeah,
Lo-Fi
Cherokee video and stuff. And it's just cool to see, like, I've seen you guys as like a 3-piece to like 11 or whatever, like you're saying. And, like, it's just fun to see that when you get the big arrangement going with the horns and the backup singers and everybody there. It's a really, really fun to see what these tracks can do.
Yeah, and it's fun for us to see what they can do too, because we don't know how it's going to sound until it comes out. We have songs in our set that we have an idea. Like, okay, we're going to play with this with the band, and then we, like, practice, and we just can't get the vibe right, or haven't yet. We will. We're all professionals. We can work it out to where it's going to sound good, but, like, we've cut songs from the set because they just weren't ready yet, and they sound better with just the DJ playing the beat. And that's no slight on the guys we have playing with us. I mean, I've got the best band that I've ever surrounded myself with right now. It's fantastic up and down the lineup. Everybody is incredible and in high demand, and that's a beautiful thing. And I love doing it, and I love playing with just like a DJ and two vocalists too. There's nothing that I enjoy more than making music, and no matter how I end up doing it, I end up having a good time. So
Well, you do have some local appearances here in St. Louis coming up, some including this Saturday night. You'll be over at the Pageant with hometown favorites, The Urge.
The homies, yes. Yeah, look forward to that, man. It's never a bad thing to play a packed crowd at the Pageant.
That's going to be a wild night, man. Yeah, those guys, they are so much fun to watch every time, and like, it just keeps getting better. I don't know how they do it, but every year they step it up.
Incredible, man.
Yeah.
They're still one of the best live bands here or anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, the show they put on is razor sharp. Yeah. Razor sharp. They are prepared. They perform with a high amount of energy. They run around the stage like they're still 25 years old, and I'm not going to tell you how old they are, because I feel like I'm not going to tell you how old I am. And they're like my big brothers.
Yeah.
But no, man, they kill it. They're still putting out quality music too. They have a new single out, How Does It Feel? It's fantastic. It's recorded beautifully. They record themselves too over at Pisoni's place.
Mm-hmm.
And they just keep on going. And they keep on putting out quality. And the shows are great. Like, I love playing with the urge. It's just so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's cool. Like, and I've seen you guys in the past too. You guys have collaborated and stuff. You know, I've seen you guys do that Feel Good Inc. cover with them and stuff. And
yeah, we've done that a good handful of times now. Possibly this weekend. You know, we haven't really talked about it. We'll see. But the we actually have a recording of that song. We recorded it. It's not been released yet. So I'm wondering, maybe we'll apply a little pressure via this podcast to see if that thing can see the light of day one of these days.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
So like I mentioned at Lufest, you guys had like the big band. Is that going to be the case this weekend too?
And yeah, we have nine pieces. We don't have the backup singers this weekend, but everybody else will be with us, full horn section.
Nice.
But it'll be really dope. We're going to play a lot of what we played at Lufest, a couple things we didn't. And we have a nice 40-minute slot to stretch out a little bit and you know, get to play some deep cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so you got the Pirates opening up the party. You got the Urge, and then keeping the party going, you got our other buddies, Boomtown United, in the Halo Bar afterwards to keep the party going all night.
Ska Madness.
Yeah.
Boomtown United is single-handedly bringing back ska in St. Louis. It's beautiful.
Yeah. All three of you guys got the horn sections going and stuff. It's just it's fun to see that, you know, keeping the horns going, the ska, the rock and everything. I mean, just great music. I mean, all three of you bands blend a lot of stuff, you know, so it's like...
We make sense together, yeah. Which is funny because, like, if you listen to one of our more, like, jazzy, mellow, you know, like, 90s-influenced hip-hop songs...
Yeah.
And then you listen to one of the Urge's more aggressive, guitar-driven, fast, almost punk rock songs. You wouldn't immediately be like, yeah, they should totally be playing shows.
Right.
But the fact is that they have a wide array of sounds that they play with, and we have a wide array of sounds that we play with, and the majority of our sounds go pretty well with the majority of their sounds, and they contrast each other well enough also to make it interesting. So when we do play shows together, it doesn't sound strange. It's not like a weird, awkward transition whatsoever. It totally makes sense where you wouldn't compare us at all in the same breath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if that makes sense to you, but sometimes sound is weird that way.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've said it a lot of times, but that's why I love what the Urge do, because it is all over the board. I mean, you know, they go from the craziest, you know, headbanging rock, hard rock stuff to, you know, covering Bob Marley or something to, you know, straight ska or whatever, you know, just like everything. It's all, everything in between, you know, it's like.
Exactly.
So it's just, every song is completely different from the next one, and it keeps you guessing all night long what's going to come out.
It's true, and I think where we meet is two main things. We have a big reggae influence in our music. I can think of at least three songs off the top of my head that are legit reggae-based hip-hop songs.
Right.
And we also have sweeping vocal choruses in a lot of songs, and so do they. And so we share both of those things in common, and they go off another direction, and we go off another direction, but we totally meet in those places, which makes it all gel together pretty well. And the same can be said for Boomtown United.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a great night altogether. Oh, I mean, to end the night with them in the Halo Bar is going to be pretty proper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's free, too.
Yeah.
So, if the Urge show sells out and you didn't get tickets, which, shame on you.
Yeah.
But you can always still show up to the Halo Bar afterwards and get in for free.
Definitely. And then along with that's going to be a nice warm-up for you guys. Got a big EP release party coming up in December.
We do, December 9th.
Yeah, so it's, like I said, it's gonna, it feels good that we're talking new music and stuff again, and getting some brand-new Pirates music out there for everybody.
Yeah, feels real good. It's good timing. And December 9th is at the Ready Room. It's a dual EP release, I should say.
Yeah.
It's us, Pirates, and 18 and Counting, and the only ensemble, the band. They made a record together. 18 and Counting's previous releases have been him doing everything, and with like some sounds thrown in from others here and there. But like, this is their first release together. I'm making all sorts of like hand motions over here that you can't see. This is their first release together where the whole band collaborated on the album, and I can't wait to hear it because their live shows are bananas. I'm telling you, 18 and Counting and the Only Ensemble is one of the best live shows you can see in St. Louis. They are so good. Really great. Their Lou Fest performance knocked everybody's socks off. Yeah. Like, it was great. It was seriously one of the best shows I saw the entire weekend, and these are my friends. Like, that's really cool when you sure. say that. And I feel like we put on a hell of a show, too. But 18 and Counting and them, they have this, like, this command of the stage. And the sounds they make, it's super unique, very current, doesn't sound like anybody else. And they pull it off on stage, like, flawlessly. It's this marriage of electronic and live. It's really beautiful. And so their album, I think, is going to be great. It's called Animal Skins. It's an EP. And our EP is called Sadie the Goat. And Sadie the Goat is going to have, I want to say, 6 tracks on it. And DJ Crucial produced the entire thing. Crucial is a hip-hop legend here in town. He's been around longer than I have. He's an incredible producer. His stuff is always, I've always been a huge fan of his. I've worked with him many times in the past via Earthworms and also for solo purposes. But it had been quite a spell since we had worked together. So I thought it'd be fun, since Pirates are kind of in this habit now. We're just making these EPs, and they're with producers. Like, we'll pick a producer and work with them,
right.
and put out an EP. This last one, Caveman Barnacles, was Matthew Sawicki. He produced the whole thing. This one's Crucial. And so Crucial makes beats on the same instruments that were being used to make beats 20 years ago. And so, like, an SP-1200 is based, I think, in fact, that is exclusively what he used on the production on our record. And they don't even make that anymore.
Right.
It's like, you have to find that shit, like, online. And he's got a beautifully preserved one. And it sounds amazing.
Nice.
So, yeah, man, it's called Sadie the Goat. Sadie the Goat was a Gangs of New York era river pirate. And the cool thing about our group is that we have such a strong female energy in our group. Kendase is a strong presence, and because of that, and we had named our first album after a pirate, Olivier Levasseur. It was Life of the Buzzard. His nickname was the Buzzard. And so then the middle album was like an outlier because it was part of Matt Sawicki's Caveman series. So this next album is really, you know, it's the follow up to the first one, and it's we're gonna name it after a lady pirate because we want to represent the balance in our group.
Right.
And Sadie the Goat was a badass. She was around. She would float up and down the Hudson River, and get out on into the alleys and walk up to you and surprise the shit out of you by headbutting you in the chest and then taking your loot.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't expect this little lady to walk up to you and just, like, headbutt you in the chest, knock the breath out of you, and then take your shit. So, yeah, that's Sadie the Goat, which is funny because, like, the production itself on the record is real sample-based, jazz-based, soul-based. You know, if you think about what pirate music sounds like, this might not be it. This sounds kind of like 1997.
Right.
Like, an updated version of such. But, yeah, it's cool. We thought it would be a cool thing to name the record. And
sure.
Cool theme to run with. Yeah, so man. We did it.
Well, you gave me a sneak peek at a track that you plan to release on the EP called Brick Sidewalks. And, again, like you're saying, kind of 1997, like, I first listened, I get kind of give me, like, a, you know, definitely that put me in that mood, like a Tribe Called Quest or something in that era, you
yeah.
know, like, you know, that kind of that 90s hip hop and stuff. And so definitely feels good, and it feels reminiscent of, you know, old, you know, those beats of older music and stuff, older hip hop. And
city, I wonder if in 50 years or so the music that we've made is to be played on your radios. It's okay though, trying to top those has never been the inspiration for my hot flows. Ain't that something you should know? Don't wanna write a sequel, trying to trump my prequel. I am my only equal, and it seems as a people we all strive for something new. To first the universe when it's right the fuck in front of you. The point of view of hip-hop is askew. How can we blame the people when it's we who have been lied to? It's what I have been called upon to do. Music brings me back to my roots. Constellations in my eyes be my guide to the truth. Periodically I question it, yeah, we are the proof. And poof, be gone, all who choose to refuse it. I see you bobbing, so you know there's something to it.
Yeah, we got three sidewalks, a fish fry soul in the citywide heart. And on these bricks I walk, wonder what they say if these bricks could talk. We are the ground we walk on. We are the ground we walk on. We are the ground we walk on. We are the ground we walk on.
Where the barbecue smoke leads to baseball and beers. It's us against the world and we taste all your tears. And I have been delivered by my peers. Found the magic in the local water, heard all the cheers. And I fit in like a square piece of pizza. Still handing out flyers, it's really nice to meet ya. And I'm still not charging for features. If you want a hot 16 that kills, let's build. Stickers on street signs and bathroom stalls. Heads full of memories and yes, yes, y'alls. We put it on a dub plate, the test press styled. The best of us step it up, the rest just foul. And I found love in a divey little pub where you can't hear the bass cause there ain't no sub. And the band's underpaid like welcome to the club. In flyover we do shows for exposure. I am astonished by the depth in which you rock it. Your cogs and your sprockets are burning like a comet. And you're a household name in my apartment. I celebrate your bright light, I like how you spark it. We got a heritage that makes you wanna stare at it. The vast majority remains unheralded. Local legends, pirates and heretics. And we still out here making fire with the Paris sticks.
We got brick sidewalks, a fish fry soul in a citywide heart. And on these bricks I walk, wonder what they say if these bricks could talk. We are the ground we walk on. 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 Yeah, we got brick sidewalks, a fish fry soul in a citywide heart. And on these bricks I walk, wonder what they say if these bricks could talk. We are the ground we walk on. We are the ground we walk on. We are the ground we walk on. We are the ground we walk on.
The lyrics, obviously, you know, very current to what you guys are. There's a line that I liked. You said here in the flyover we do shows for exposure or something.
Yeah.
That seems to be the common case. I mean, like everybody, all these people want to put on shows and they say, well, it's great exposure and stuff. You know, they don't yeah. They don't want to pay you anything.
Welcome to St. Louis,
yeah,
my man.
Yeah. Right.
That's what it is. It's, a flyover country. We miss a lot of tours.
Yeah.
We're right in the middle of the country, and sometimes when you're planning your tour out, if you're a band that lives on the coast, you're looking at like, okay, I got to fill a Tuesday. Is that Tuesday going to be in St. Louis, or is it going to be in Chicago? You know what I mean? And Chicago is kind of the natural choice there because it's a bigger city. Although I will argue St. Louis has a stronger music scene. Because we are a smaller city, we also have like a lot of incredible art happening here because there is not shit else to do
right. Besides
sports and bars. So artists create art here, a lot of us. And because of that, the music scene is fabulous. But that's not what you see in the support that touring artists would get here if they're known on a Tuesday, is pretty tremendous. Now, I will also say that, underground kind of artists have problems here. And it's because there is also, on the flip side of what I just said, there's kind of a like the ideology in a lot of people's heads that if they haven't heard of it, it's not going to be worth their time, or they in fact don't take the time to dig deeper into something. But it, so if like Big Crit comes to town, he's going to fill a place up on a Tuesday because he's on the overall conscious of things.
Right.
But like if AC Alone out of LA comes to town, who is a legend, and he came through on a Tuesday, it'd be more difficult to draw a crowd for him because St. Louis is a little narrow-minded in a lot of ways. And that's just the town we live in. It's a weird thing. It's a weird dichotomy that we live in here. Whereas the art is beautiful, the local art is amazing. Support for bigger touring acts, thorough. Support for more underground touring acts, not as impressive.
Yeah.
Which is why we are flyover country in a lot of ways. We miss a lot of really great tours. And the locals here end up, the ones that do come in, getting asked to open these shows for basically no money. And that's why we do shows for exposure.
Yeah.
You know? Now, granted, you can reach a certain point in your career, like, you can recognize when it's worth it.
Yeah.
And then you can recognize when to be like, yo, I'll do this, but, like, I'm going to need at least X amount of money in order to do this, and I know you can afford to pay me. You know what I mean? But some of these artists, man, you know, they want to charge you like $20,000 on a Wednesday night, you know. So then that's when you ask the local to come in and basically do it for free, or if they reach the, you know, you get $100 or something.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. I could go on about this all day. But yes, Brick Sidewalks is a good song. I like it. It's super mellow. It's really cool, jazzy. Sounds like the 90s. It's a love letter to St. Louis. I live in Soulard. I walk on brick sidewalks every day, so that's where the title comes from, and kind of the idea of the song comes from. It's basically the audio version of a fleur-de-lis. We almost called the song Fleur de Life. You know, we didn't call it Brick Sidewalks.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what it is, and this is the song you're going to hear on this podcast today.
Nice. So again, that'll be available on the 9th, December 9th, over at the Ready Room. You can come grab a copy of the brand new EP with Brick Sidewalks on it, along with a couple other tracks. And I'm guessing probably soon after that, all your digital platforms and everything else too, right?
Indeed, yes. Very shortly after that. That'll happen before. It might happen after January 1st,
okay.
Digitally. I haven't made that decision. Just kind of watch our Facebook.
Sure.
I'll announce all that stuff.
Yeah.
Look me up. Matthias James on Facebook. I'm easy to find. Or Matthias and the Pirates on Facebook. We'll Twitter. You can find me at, is it STL Pirates?
Yeah.
That is the Pirates account. And Instagram, it's STL Pirate. Because I'm too lazy to make a band Instagram account.
Yeah.
But find us online, basically, is what I'm saying, and watch for that. This is really a 2019 album. I'm sorry, 18. It's 2017 now.
Yeah.
It's a 2018
going in the future
release, and I want it to be judged as such.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one thing to release it locally in December, but I think I might put off the digital release until January. So it's officially a 2018 release on the books.
Right.
Because I don't want to start January selling last year's product, you know, if that makes sense.
Sure.
But I might also get trigger happy and put it out digitally in December as well. So you just got to watch our social media for that. That's the thing about being an underground artist, man. You can do shit like that.
Right.
You can be like, I have this wishy-washy decision here, you know. Being a more mainstream artist, it's way more regimented.
Right.
Which, dude, I'll take that. Trust me, any day of the week. Like, somebody's like, nope, this one is coming out. Here's the money to prove it. Well, okay, cool. But, you know, while we're in the position we're in and we're releasing everything independently, you know, through the Farfetch Collective. Like, we are, you know, I can do what I want, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
there's freedom in that.
Right. You know? Yeah, there's a lot to be said about that, because, like, I've talked to other artists, and they were like, yeah, we're waiting for our, you know, label to make the decision on whenever our album, you know, it's been done for a year already. We're just waiting for the release date. And
that, yeah,
you know.
That would be frustrating
right.
to me.
Yeah.
That would be highly frustrating to me.
Right.
You work so hard on something, and then you get it to where you consider it finished. And then you've got to wait for somebody else to, like, fit it into their business plan.
Yeah.
That's not...
Right.
Nah. You know what I mean? I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. You give me enough money, I suppose I could do anything.
Sure.
So, to answer the question, would I sell out? Yes.
Yeah. Farfetch Collective, which you got, you're obviously a big part of. And we did a real fun episode like about a year ago talking about Farfetched. We had Darian, and we had...
It was Damon, Darian, it was me. Who else was in on that? Well, Charles.
Yeah, Charles, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Was anybody else there?
I think it was just us.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
But we were talking Prologue, which we're getting ready to... Getting close to that time again this year, January. You guys plan to release Prologue 7.
That's right.
Yeah, so get excited about that. Get ready for some new Farfetched music from all your favorites around town. And
so, like, to catch you up, Prologue 7. The Prologue is an album we put out every year. On the collective puts out every year in January, just to start the year with, and it's sort of like a. You know, an introduction to the year sets the tone, I guess, maybe for the year. And this is our 7th year in a row doing this. So Farfetched has been around for a little while now, and it's always an incredible collection of music, all on one thing, and it just keeps evolving and getting better every year. There's a collaborative spirit to it.
Sure.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I love the diversity of it. You know, like you're saying,
super diverse.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you got your stuff is like, you know, hip hop, but then you got like Cave of Swords, is like this, you know, the shoegaze kind of rock stuff they do, and they got Hands and Feet, you know, usually on there.
Yeah,
and he does his stuff. You know, it's just like very, very eclectic sounds coming out of one collection. So,
and even the hip hop that's represented all sounds pretty different from one another. And that's what makes the collective beautiful. We're all coming from different places. We all have different backgrounds.
Right.
We artistically try to achieve different things. But then when you put us all together on a compilation, totally makes sense.
Right.
Totally
yeah.
makes sense.
Exactly.
Makes beautiful sense. And it's really cool. And I think that's just because you can make anything make sense if the parties involved, if there's love, you know, if there's respect. You know, we all... love each other, and we respect each other, and it's all good energy and good vibes amongst the collective, and that comes off in the music we release together.
Yeah, very cool.
And so I've got a track of Prologue 7 with Hands and Feet doing the production. It was maybe one of the last submissions to the record because I procrastinate, but this was it's outside of what you might, if you're familiar with my music and my art, it's outside of the normal box that I exist in. And I'm not saying I exist in a box in particular, but this particular song is it's kind of like on the fringes of like what I typically create. It's more current, I guess. The production, you know, it's got triplets in it and shit. It's like kind of what I call it, emo trap.
Yeah,
and I'm riding over that beat in a way that instrumental kind of demands it, and so it sounds more current, like a more in tune, I guess, to what a lot of the younger generation, the styles that they have adopted and created, and so like it's an interesting song for me because of that. It's super, you know, in contrast to what we're about to put out here in December. You know, the Pirates album it's classic hip-hop. Now, if you've heard Matthias and the Pirates before, we've got a lot of, you know, more modern sounds. We don't just stay in that old-school lane by any means because we like to work with a lot of different producers who make a lot of different sounds. But this particular release we're about to put out into the world, it's boom bap. It sounds like it's classic hip hop, and so it contrasts completely with the song that's going to get released on Prologue in January.
Yeah.
Which is fun for me as an artist. It's painting with different colors.
Sure, man.
Yeah.
What do you how do you feel about some of the current music being released and stuff like in hip hop and things like there's seems like you know, you got the mumble rap and all that different stuff like that are coming that people buy it though, it sells. I don't ever understand it really. Like,
well, here's what it is, and my position on this has softened over the years. Initially I was just like any other, you know, old head hip hop curmudgeon where I was like, what is this? I do not understand these sounds, you know, like that's how it sounded in my brain. My brain is 80 years old when it comes to getting used to new things.
Sure.
Sometimes. And it took me a while, but like the more I purposely exposed myself to newer music and some of these newer sounds and ideas of where hip hop's going, because let's be honest, I mean, these are the people, the songs you hear a lot of times these days are made by people who are like 22 years old. They grew up in the digital age. Mm-hmm. They grew up with the internet. They were born and the internet existed. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I was born and 8-tracks were in everybody's car. You know what I mean? Like when I was a kid in the late 70s, like 8-tracks were in everybody's car. These kids are being born with the internet in their house.
Yeah.
So like the sounds are going to be different. You know, it's going to represent the life they've lived, and they've lived a digital life for better or worse. You can argue one way or the other, but they've lived a digital life, and so that's what the music sounds like. Mm-hmm. And so mumble rap, as they call it, is a perfect example of that. It's rhythmic. It's not words. It's sounds. It's ones and zeros. You know what I mean? It's waves. It's not meant to get a point across. And that's not going to be everybody's bag. But I find it difficult to hate it because it's music, and they're using their voice more as an instrument. Whether this is the conscious decision they're making or not, they're just using their voice as an instrument rather than being a conduit for actual thoughts and words. They're providing an escape. You know what I mean? And that, I think, is the value of mumble rap,
sure,
as it were. You know, like it provides an escape. It's not hurting anybody, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are looking for more heady hip hop can certainly find it. You know, it's not pushing that out of the realm of consciousness. You know what I mean? But what it is doing is it's just providing an escape, a good time, and their words are not even words. It's more like it's more just sounds and instruments.
Okay, I guess that's kind of where there are definitely these people that connect more to the beats, more to the instrumentals.
Certainly.
And you know, sonic sounds of what is being created. But I've always been more the type to come from the lyrics. I love the storytelling aspect of music and stuff. So,
oh, I do too. I'm a lyricist, right. And I'm a wordy person, as you can tell if you've ever listened to one of these podcasts I've been on. I will talk, but no, that's the cool thing though. Is like when you're in the club though.
Mm-hmm.
You're not trying to contemplate social injustice.
Right.
You know, you're trying to escape all that shit. You're in the club. You're having drinks. You're with your friends. You're looking at people of the opposite sex or of the same sex or whatever. You're just appreciating life. You're appreciating the moment. You're having a good time. You're not trying to get, like, beat in the head with these, like, topical issues when you're in the club. Like, you get that all day. Like you just want to escape, and that's where the stuff comes in.
Mm-hmm.
It's club music. It's party music. And you know, that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
Sure.
Which is funny because like if you'd asked me the same question a couple years ago, and you probably did, I probably would have gone on some diatribe and probably did about how it's whack and it's bullshit and blur blardy blur blur, you know. But then something clicked really over the last couple of years where I've just been like, you know what, like why waste my energy disliking something so hard when I can try to understand it And when I can, there's room for everyone at the table. There's room for everybody.
Yeah, for sure.
There's all the different, and that's what makes it beautiful. There's a lot of different sounds that are being created in a lot of different ways. The beauty of technology, and you can not be the most heady person in the world, but you can have like a knack for rhythms and a knack for melody, And so that's, you can find your lane in that. You don't even have to, you can say the same word over and over and over again. You can, whatever the word is, and throw it through some auto tune or not, and do a bunch of layers on it. And like now and then say some different words or just mumble some shit. And as long as it's rhythmic and it sounds like good within the instrumental, sometimes it doesn't, Sometimes it doesn't. I'm sure we can find a lot of examples where it's like, this is fucking terrible, But sometimes it's like, all right, I get it.
Right.
I understand it.
Yeah.
It took me a while, but I got there.
All right. Yeah.
The Migos is a good example. And they're not as mumbly as I think they once were. But when they came out with Bad and Bougie, all the hip-hop heads were like, the fuck is this? Garbage. And I was one of them. But then I heard it like, 500 or so times. And one day, I was sitting in a bar in Chicago. We had just played a show there. And I looked at Darian, who was with us. And I said, and Bad and Bougie, it was on this bar's speakers, not once but twice. And I was like, you know what? I don't hate this song. Like, I kind of like it. I kind of like this song. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Why do I like this? And I figured out it's because like I'm in a bar enjoying myself. It's got a good beat, and it's got a good rhythm to it, and it's fun.
Sure.
That's why.
I feel like all that too. Like everything's got a purpose. It's always a place and a purpose. Because like, if you would have heard that just like sitting at the house, you probably wouldn't have connected to it. But the fact that you're hearing it at the bar and having a fun time, and
it's totally situational,
right? Yeah. So I feel like there's a lot of times I'm exposed to music at the wrong time, and it just doesn't click for me. And then all of a sudden, it'll click for me one day, when you get in the right atmosphere. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's weird though, as you just age, I guess, and proceed through life, the more you're exposed to, the more you end up liking, and the less you end up limiting yourself.
Yeah, sure, man. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff out there. There's no reason to just, stay plugged into one thing. I mean, open your world up to all this different stuff. There's a lot of...
Well, I'll segue that back to the Pirates, is that we don't try to play just hip-hop shows.
Yeah.
We prefer playing crossover shows. We prefer playing with other kinds of artists, in other genres, because it's just so much more fun.
Yeah.
You get to play in front of more people, different people who don't typically just come out to a hip-hop show, but you can expose them to music that way that they otherwise they wouldn't have heard. Like, if there's a reason Matthias and the Pirates got, like, any sort of buzz behind them at all, it's because of this. It's this ethos. It's this... The direction we take, the steps we take to make sure we're not just playing hip hop shows.
Right.
We like to play with rock bands and reggae groups and ska bands and whoever and all of the above and this and that, jazz groups. We'll play with whoever because we can fit with all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense. And people who go to any of those shows will find something they like about us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can attest to that too. I put you guys on that rock show I threw at Broadway Oyster Bar.
That's right. And those were three really... I was just talking about that with somebody the other day. Yeah.
It was you guys, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals and Skyburn White. So three very different bands. But I had people coming up to me all night that were like, I probably wouldn't have gone to a hip-hop show and seen the Pirates. But the fact that they're here, I really enjoyed what they were doing, though. And I'm glad I listened because they might not have... otherwise heard you, but it was the fact that they were out there for somebody else and they discovered something new that night and loved it. So like another, that's a beautiful thing.
Exactly. And people who are hip hop fans who come to our shows will more than likely be exposed to something they wouldn't typically think of going to check out.
Right.
So that's kind of our MO.
Yeah, man. We got another date coming up in January. You guys are also part of this coming up in 2018, January 19th, at the Ready Room, the Art of Live Festival, which kind of takes over the whole city for that it seems like 2 weeks or something like that. It's kind of a...
Yeah, I think it's 2 weekends in a row.
Yeah.
I should probably know more about it than I do.
Yeah.
But we are we're playing the installment at the Ready Room on the 19th. It's going to be with the Knuckles and with Bates, two really exceptional hip-hop acts. Great. It's really a fantastic, sturdy bill.
Mm-hmm.
The Knuckles might be the best pound-for-pound, most fun hip-hop group in town. They just make... Their songs are just good to party to.
Sure.
And this is a good example. Like, Rocky Knuckles is a super heady rapper. Like, that dude is one of the smartest guys I know. He's extraordinary. And Aloha is an incredible performer. Like, just goes out of her mind. She's on stage and she's jumping out of her skin. She cannot even fucking handle it. And it's so fun to watch. And in doing so, delivers like this memorable, beautiful performance. And so the Knuckles are, I mean, they're everybody's favorite right now. And I don't mind saying they're one of my favorites. And they're fantastic. I've known Rocky for like 15 plus years. And we go back. And this is definitely my favorite thing he's done. The combination of him and Aloha is really awesome.
Yeah.
And Bates is dope. I mean, she kills it. Her energy is undeniable, too. We're going to have us in the middle, and we come with our own flavor and our own energy, and it's going to be a great night overall.
Yeah.
Really, really fun.
Yeah, so a lot of chances to catch Matthias and the Pirates all around your St. Louis here. And, of course, you guys, you mentioned going to Chicago. You guys been doing... a little bit more, you know, road work. So you said you plan to keep that up.
Yeah, we'll keep that up. There's no reason not to. If we're gonna keep releasing albums and making music, you got to get out of town.
Yeah,
you can't just play shows in St. Louis. You'll drive yourself crazy mm-hmm. doing that. And it helps you not overexpose yourself here in town as well. It's easy when you're not touring a lot to book yourself too often in town because you get bored if you're not playing live shows. At least I do. And I don't make good decisions when I'm bored, so I would rather, be busy and go play in Chicago, go play in Kansas City and Columbia and wherever else, you know, regionally, that makes sense to go. We'll go to wherever makes sense to go. We'll go out to the coasts if it does make sense. But, you know, again, there have to be, the older you get and the more responsibility you have in life, it's harder to leave town for weeks at a time.
Sure.
If you're not coming back with a considerable amount of money.
Yeah. I know my buddies, the Manus brothers, they just went their first European tour and got a chance to an opportunity to go out there with another guy, Sean James, and I think they were gone for two, maybe 3 weeks, something like that, but I was like, that'd be a pretty wild experience just to, you know, hitting the road with your brother and exploring all over Europe. And
oh man, it's incredible. I've toured coast to coast. Yeah. I've toured Europe. Like, I've done that kind of stuff. And let me tell you, like, you get the opportunity, go and get it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a 40-year-old dude sitting here talking to you. You know, I've done that shit, right? But, like, as you get older, it's, like, harder and harder to justify. You know, I've got a career. I work in the beer industry. Like, I work for a brewery. It's something I love and I intend to keep doing. Of course, unless somebody in the music business comes along like, oh, here's this like giant record deal, which that doesn't happen anymore, so I'm not fucking counting on that. So like, basically, like when you've got a career in things, you know, I have a girlfriend, we have an apartment and a dog and this, you know, all this stuff, like I've got a life, right? And it's hard to justify touring coast to coast like I used to do mm-hmm. anymore, the more responsibility I've taken on in my life.
Sure.
And as you get older, you feel like you have to. Like, I have to. You know, I'm reached the point in time where it's like, dude, like, I can't just, like, work temporary jobs and not have, you know, a path upwards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not even trying to achieve some, like, fake American dream. Just, like, a path upwards to, like, better the life you live. And that's one thing artists struggle with. All of us struggle with this kind of shit. I'm an artist first and foremost. That is the thing that makes me happiest in life. But if you can find something else that makes you really happy, that you don't mind doing that actually pays you money, because you know, unless you're Justin Bieber, you're basically barely getting by in this world if you're an artist.
Yeah.
Don't let people tell you different. You know, it's you can make money, but it's not an easy way to do it. Let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's easy, but yeah. Anyway, tangents. Like career-wise, man. Like I just can't leave town unless it's super super worth it.
Yeah.
For extended periods of time, I can do weekend warrior shit. You know, we can go to Chicago and we can go to nearby places. We can fly somewhere, go play some shows, and fly home if we're not losing money in the deal. You know, we can do that. We will do that. We have done it and we'll continue doing it. We just have to be super smart about it.
Yeah.
But touring's super fun, and I will tell anybody out there who has the opportunity to tour, go get it. Bruiser Queen just got back. I've been watching their progress online. They just got back from a lengthy tour, and it looked like it went awesome, and they had a great time. You know, like, it's an experience you can't trade for anything. Go do it. Do it until somebody tells you you can't, or until you can't afford it anymore.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they did a cool thing with a Pledge Music campaign for their new record, and like, they were doing like weekly updates, videos for the along with the campaign, and one of them they did like a episode of Cribs kind of thing in the tour bus, and they showed how they get by with a or not they're not bus but van,
mm-hmm.
And how they like they have a bed set up in the back to where one can sleep, one can drive, and like so it was pretty interesting kind of see a little behind the scenes of what it's like being a road musician for them and like and how they get. They, you know, how they survive and stuff. So
it is not glamorous, and you have to find a way to maximize the money that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a hotel room every night, which is, you know, you can do that. Maybe you build that into your guarantee. You know, if you've got enough clout to where you can swing that, do that for sure, because you can shower. But you know, if you're not, you know, balling that way, you know, you've got to get creative, and sometimes that's a bed in the back of a van. Sometimes it's like you're in the back seat with your buddy and one of you is leaning against one window and the other's leaning against another window, and because there's no room wherever you happen to be crashing. You know, you crash at the person's house who hosted you, the, you know, some rapper in Arizona, you know, like you're crashing on their floor. Hopefully you brought a sleeping bag. You know, that's kind of how tour life is.
Yeah.
And the older I get, the less feasible that sounds to me.
Right.
You know, your body changes, man. You can't sleep on a floor for 2 weeks and expect to come out of it like without some serious fucking back problems.
Yeah. You
shit.
I wanted to ask you also, there was a line in Brick Sidewalks that you also said that you still don't charge for a feature.
Uh-huh.
If you want a dope 16, you can
yeah, so I'm still not charging for features. If you want a hot 16
hot
that
16,
kills,
yeah.
Let's build.
Yeah. So is that so? I mean, right there, you're pretty much saying an open invite. If you want Matthias on your track, reach out, right?
Yeah. Reach out, man. If you want to build, let's build. Let's do it. You know, I only discriminate if I really don't like your shit. You know, I'm not gonna want to probably do a song with you if I don't believe in your music.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's just art. You know, you can't force good art, and I'm not like desperate. But if I think you're dope, if your stuff's cool, and if we get along personally, that's a big thing.
Sure.
Like the exchange you have with somebody. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm down.
Do you know Discrepancies? You met those guys?
You know, I haven't met them. No, yeah. I'm a Facebook friends with like maybe one of the dudes.
Yeah.
I haven't met them yet though.
Well, ATG's their frontman rapper, and he's been doing some collaborating and stuff too. But they're definitely more hip hop rock, and I love what they're doing. But he's been doing the same kind of thing, just trying to feature and collaborate with a lot of people around town, and it's just really cool to see that our city is doing that kind of stuff. You know, like
you have to when you're a mid-sized town like us,
right.
Like you have to have a collaborative spirit.
Sure.
You know, obviously competition is a thing, but it's healthy competition and it's fun. You celebrate it when other people do well.
Yeah.
I do. You know, I celebrate it when I see my contemporaries out there killing it.
Yeah.
You know, the Discrepancies, I don't know them personally. They just kind of popped up on my radar within the last year.
Sure. They're very young.
And I think you told me about
probably,
them.
Probably. Yeah.
And so, like, I don't know them at all, but I did check out a couple of their live videos. I mean, they're definitely the real deal. They sound great. I know they do They've done shows with some friends of mine. I think they've played with Midwest Avengers. They've definitely played with Common Jones.
Yeah.
Those are homies. And so, like, I'm, you know, I'm, it feels like eventually we'll end up on a bill together.
Sure.
But, like, you know, we just don't know each other like that right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've, yeah, that was a big party. The Discrepancies did a big show at the Ready Room, and then they did, like, this Cypher video over Breathe, the Fabulous track.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they filmed it, like, under a bridge, right?
Yeah,
I saw that.
So they got Common Jones, rapper Steve
yeah.
Peanut, it was on it, and Altaze, who was also on that show, and then you got, like, John and some of the guys from Midwest Avengers, like, in the background and stuff, but, like, it was really cool, like, that whole spirit of that, you know, bringing that collaborative effort, like we're saying, so the fact that they even shot the whole music video around it, like, and all that was to hype up the party they were playing at the Ready Room, so...
Yeah,
it was really a cool thing they did, and
it's a unique approach to, like, hype up a party
yeah.
too. It's pretty dope that they did that.
Sure,
not a lot of people do that shit.
Right,
that's super cool.
Yeah. So I that'd be. I'm thinking it'd be fun to maybe make that connect those dots and make get Discrepancies and Pirates show together or do something like that in the near future sometime or whatever it might
certainly.
Be.
Yeah, I know we'd be up for it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Well, I put your picture up here on Facebook, ask if anybody had any questions, and Phil Wright wrote in, a good friend of the show.
Oh, yes.
He wanted to know, ask him if, which he'd rather have more, the Cardinals getting, what was it? I don't even know how to say his last name, but Giancarlo?
He's got to be talking about Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah, there you go. Or a lifetime supply of his favorite candy bar.
Well, that Stanton. If we got Stanton and the trade-off was me never having to eat a candy bar again, I would never eat a fucking candy bar again.
Yeah.
And I don't know where Phil... Phil, why do you think I like candy bars so much?
Yeah. I'm recording with Phil this week, and I'll ask him.
Something. Yeah, ask him why he thinks I like candy bars so much.
Yeah.
And ask him whether he would... prefer getting both Stanton and Donaldson or if he would prefer having his I'm coming off the cuff and I'm doing it poorly his harmonica covered with glitter for the rest of eternity.
Yeah.
And we all know what happens when something's covered with glitter. You always have glitter on you.
Everywhere.
Do you want to have glitter on you for the rest of eternity? You could either do that or... And that would be the payoff for having Stanton and Donaldson or not having Stanton and Donaldson. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So. It took me a while to get there, but that's a fair question. It's a lot of glitter, Phil.
All right. but yeah, that's I guess that's Cardinal baseball. That's a pretty big part of your life too.
Oh yes, I love baseball.
Yeah,
my entire life, I love baseball.
Yeah, So that's be a pretty big deal. I mean, I don't know.
It'd be the biggest deal. It'd be like trading for Albert Pujols in his prime.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe he doesn't hit for as high of average as Pujols did in his prime. Pujols was like a .330 hitter in his prime. Ridiculous. And then he would hit 40 home runs. Stanton just hit 59 home runs and he hit like .280, I want to say, in the process. I'll take that shit.
Yeah.
I will take that. He's the best hitter in baseball right now, power hitter in baseball right now. And if he's hitting between .260 and .280, that's still enough production beyond the power to make him a threat each and every time he steps to the plate.
Right.
I will trade almost anything for that. Because we don't have that right now, and we've seen these last few years, that's to our detriment that we don't have a big bopper in the middle of the order. We don't have that,
mm-hmm.
So they can pitch around anybody they want to, and having Stanton in the lineup would make it harder to pitch around anyone around him.
Yeah. Hopefully we get back on track. I know this was a. Pretty rough year for Cardinal baseball, history and stuff wise. But
yeah, we're spoiled as shit.
Yeah, right.
We're spoiled as shit. But that's okay because the fact that the fan base is so demanding
right.
means that there's always pressure on the front office to perform. Mm-hmm. They can't just coast.
Right.
Like, we get loud and we get upset and we cry all over the internet, like, and all over the sports radio shows. Like, it's bad, bad press for the Cardinals if they don't actually do things to improve the team every year. Mm-hmm. If they don't, like, make it a point to try and actually contend in a serious manner. They hear about it. Now, that doesn't mean that they have to listen to us, but it means that there's always pressure. And you won't find that in a lot of other cities. Like, baseball doesn't reign supreme in other towns like it does here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a baseball town, man. Well, very cool, man. I appreciate you taking some time out to hang and share some new music with us and everything else.
That was my pleasure, man. Thanks for having us.
I'm excited to hear the rest of it. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah.
One thing, we recorded this whole thing here at Gazelig, and Gazelig is a great place. I want to give them a shout-out. They lent us the room to do this.
Thank you.
We're here. It's right next door to the Ready Room in the Grove. They have 28 taps. They've got a cooler full of beer. You can either drink here or take to-go. The to-go prices are cheaper, and they're ridiculous. Like, you can get out of here with some high-end craft beer at a really, really fair price. And you can drink them on premise here as well, far cheaper than you can elsewhere. It's a wonderful place. The beer selection is unmatched. And it's got a good vibe, and it's here in the Grove, right next door to the Ready Room, where we're playing a couple shows coming up. So, yeah. Really great spot. Definitely check out Gazelli.
Yeah, good before or after hang for any of those shows coming up. So,
indeed.
Yeah, stop by, grab a drink, and get the party started. So, but yeah.
Oh. Shout out to Broke Poets, too. They're opening the show December the 9th at the Ready Room, and I don't think we talked about that. Huh. Broke Poets is a collective of hip-hop greats here in town. Jonesy, Capo, Accurate, Q Houston, who else is involved? A bunch of folks involved. I'm forgetting somebody, and I'm very sorry to you, but the Broke Poets are fantastic, and they're gonna warm it up real nice for us at the Ready Room.
Yeah. So The Urge on the 18th, November 18th at the Pageant, December 9th, the EP release party at the Ready Room with Broke Poets, 18 Counting, and yes.
VTOM is gonna spin some records.
Nice.
There too. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So get those tickets. Come on out and party. Let's have a good time. So
let's do it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Shane. Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.